You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
Hello, Trade Bros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast with your hosts, myself, Mark Borscht, and
George Papazov.
Welcome back, Georgie.
Welcome back, Marky. Thanks for having me.
And welcome back to our audience. We have got an exciting episode planned for you guys today, and we're going to be focusing our discussion on an important characteristic that is a necessity for your long-term success as a trader. And that characteristic is resilience. All right, resilience, we're going to speak on the definition of resilience. We're going to speak on why resilience is such an important characteristic for traders to have. We're also going to break down resilience into three components. And finally, we are going to give you guys some practical strategies you can use to build up your resilience so that you can enjoy a long-term career trading the markets. Now, despite what you see on social media, trading is not easy, all right? Trading is simple, but it's not easy. And you're going to be tested. And whether that is psychologically tested, whether that's financially tested, you are going to be tested. And how you rise from those tests, how you overcome the challenges, how you overcome obstacles is ultimately going to determine your success in this industry. Because even the best traders in the world go through periods of drawdown, and whether they bounce back or not largely depends on their resilience. And this is why it's so important, and this is exactly why we're going to be focusing our discussion today around this characteristic.
Awesome, Marky. Before we begin, I have a huge announcement. Our business model is changing soon. In just a few weeks' time, our prices will also be going up because we've added a ridiculous amount of value to our community already. We've already introduced our new options course to current members, and they've learned how to trade options with order flow like institutional traders. If you sign up before our new pricing model change in March, you will have access to education on options and futures, plus access to both live trading rooms on a daily basis. You literally will be able to get access to all of our material forever at a ridiculously low price. But you have to act. Sign up now before the new prices are in effect and get grandfathered in for this membership for life. Start your trading development journey and start with Trade Pro Academy. We'll see you in the community.
Awesome. That's a great message. And just to kind of reiterate, guys, there are some big, big changes happening behind the scenes. And there's never been a better time to check us out. If you haven't already, make sure to check out www.tradeproacademy.com for more information. And now back to the show. So guys, resilience. You know, if you guys have been following along with us for any amount of time, you'll know that we often like to break down the definition of what we're going to focus on before we really peel back the curtain. So what is resilience? Georgie, let me ask you, what is resilience? And don't cheat here.
Resilience is the ability to keep getting beat up, honestly, and to just continue to believe and have strong enough values that you're going to get through it, even when it's tough. You know, it's like when things are easy, it's easy to have a great day. But when things are tough, being able to pull through and then come out on top, that to me is resilience. Not just one day, but, you know, in the span of a longer stretch.
Yeah, exactly. And I would argue the same thing. You know, my verbiage might be a little bit different. I would say that resilience, in my own words, is basically the ability to keep getting punched in the face and walking forward.
Yeah, love it.
Go ahead.
Fun history fact, Marky. TradePro started as Resilience Investments. That was the first name, and TradePro was doing business as at the time. So this is a cool topic. This is like a topic entrenched in our history.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. You guys are on the cusp of history. So what is the actual definition of resilience? The actual definition of resilience is the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties, and it's also kind of in parentheses, toughness, all right? And so can you guys, you know, just for a moment, now that you know what the definition of resilience is, can you start to see how resilience is an important characteristic for traders to hold? Now, if you're not seeing the connection just quite yet, let's help you out here. Why is resilience such an important characteristic for traders to have? Well, first and foremost, like we just mentioned, trading is a very, very demanding job. All right. You're going to be presented with challenges. You're going to be presented with pressures. You are going to be presented with adversity. And, you know, amongst other things, amongst your expectations, amongst your skill, amongst what you believe you can achieve, you know, resilience is something that is going to really determine whether you bounce back or not. If you run into these challenges, if you run into these pressures, if you run into, you know, adversity. And let me just fix up my, you know, the way that I'm saying these things, not if you run in, it's when you're going to run into challenges, when you're going to run into pressure, when you're going to run into adversity. Because, you know, despite, like we said, despite what social media says, this industry, learning how to trade, learning how to do it successfully is not something that is as easy as it's portrayed. And so I think resilience is such an important thing for traders to have, because it is really going to determine whether you can bounce back from the tough times. And you know, you guys might be familiar with the 90-90-90 rule, which is basically, you know, it's a statistic which basically goes along the lines of 90% of traders lose 90% of their capital in the first 90 days of opening a new account, right? And if you really think about that for what it is, most people are going to be spending their careers as traders in drawdown. Right, most people are going to be spending their careers as traders in drawdown. They're going to be taking losses, and that is ultimately the largest source of adversity in trading. It's losses. It's making mistakes that lead to losses, and it's taking drawdowns, right? And so, as a trader, you're going to go through these challenging periods, and the key here is not to avoid these challenges, not to avoid this adversity, not to avoid this pressure, because no matter what, you can't hide. It's going to happen. So you don't want to avoid these periods, but what you want to do is you want to be putting yourself in a position where you are psychologically, where you are financially able to bounce back and overcome from these challenges, right? Every single trader is going to endure these challenges, like we said. And to overcome these adversities means that you're going to have to be resilient. And the traders that are going to be successful are the ones that are going to be resilient. The ones that are not going to find success, the ones that are going to be part of that 90% statistic, are the ones that are going to fail to do the same. They're going to fail to overcome challenges. They're going to fail to overcome adversity. And, you know, what's the ultimate deciding factor between those that are successful and those that are not successful when it comes to adversity? It's resilience.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing to say, Marky. I think this is a topic that's overlooked a lot. You know, nobody's coaching to resilience out there in the trading industry because people don't buy resilience. They want to buy indicators and all that stuff. But I think it's important to mention that resilience, nobody's born with it. You know, I think every individual who's resilient, you know, has become that way. And this is one of the things where we always want to avoid challenges, right? The human being as an animal wants to minimize their suffering and maximize their return. But the problem with that is the challenges are actually opportunities to improve. They help you build resilience, they help you build grit. And so one thing you need to understand is how do you then build resilience? You know, a lot of that is based on your experiences, which are based on your values, which are based on your identity, right? I don't think resilient people are just resilient in trading, right? I think resilient people are resilient in anything they do. It's not like they're good traders and then once the trading day ends, a challenge comes their way and they throw in the white towel and say, oh, I don't know what to do. And so I think that to kind of apply this concept to your trading journey, I think it's really important for you to take an audit of where you are in terms of your life experiences, right? Think back to moments of challenges. And the goal when you do that isn't to go back in that moment and dwell into the negativity, but think about exactly what happened right after those moments. And you're going to know if resilience is something you need to work on or not. If you're a resilient individual, you're resilient to the point where you don't know that you're resilient. It's just kind of second nature to you. So this is something you're going to have to work on. But one thing I want you to kind of realize as we go through this episode is that I had to build it. Everyone who's successful has to build it. And the empowering message is that you too can build up resilience. You can't buy it. You're not born with it. It's created. And so wherever you are in your journey right now, you have the opportunity to be better and more resilient.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree with that. And, you know, I think resilience is, it's one of those tough things. Like you mentioned, you don't really know that you're resilient until you're resilient. And the thing that I really enjoy about what you said was that, you know, reflect, right? A lot of what we speak on in this podcast is reflecting. And if you take a look back at any time you kind of faced a challenge or faced an obstacle, you know, whether it's in trading or not, it's to reflect on how you kind of manage that situation, because reflecting on your past experiences can provide some great insight into, you know, where your mind goes when you come into adversity and how you kind of get yourself out of those kinds of situations. So, you know, I'm curious, George, if you could share any, you know, if you have any experiences, any recent experiences of where resilience was a necessary thing to have in order to, you know, get yourself out of a hole, or, you know, if you had any recent challenges that you had to be resilient in order to overcome.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that. That's a fun discussion, you know, and resilient people like talking about this kind of stuff. This morning I was tying my shoe and the shoelace broke, Mark. And I was like, wow, what a... I'm just
kidding. too strong, man.
Yeah, I don't know if the listeners and us could handle this story, so let me go to an easier one. Last week I was trading NASDAQ. So what you guys have to understand for me is that, you know, I'm a trader who is really good at S&P 500. That's kind of like my main squeeze. And I went to NASDAQ because there was a lack of volatility, right? And when you chase something because of anticipate, like I went there because of greed. I wanted to make more money. And at the time, S&P wasn't providing the opportunity, NASDAQ was. So I went in and I started trading a bigger, you know, I mean, for me anyways, for NASDAQ, for some people it's small, for some it's huge. All right, I was doing like 12, 18 lots. At one point I did a 20 on it. But trading NASDAQ, NASDAQ's a very volatile, very chaotic market. And in addition to that, you know, knowing that I'm doing something I shouldn't be, even when I was up, didn't really feel good. You know what I mean? Because I didn't have a specific NASDAQ strategy. I hadn't traded for a long time. And now I'm making NASDAQ my main market. It was kind of like I went down the wrong turn on the road and I found myself in a neighborhood I shouldn't be in. And I knew it, right? So, you know, fast forward to the result, what ended up happening, one day I was down the $4,000 on NASDAQ, right? 4K. And then I was like, okay, look, this is a drawdown. This is a significant one. It's not going to kill me. I'll come back from it. I'm like, one last trade, because this is actually a good trade. And I went and put in the trade, and, you know, fast forward to 15 minutes later, I find out it didn't have a stop in. There's a good excuse for it, but I'm not going to give it to you because excuses are for losers. And so that's, I believe, you know, that really deeply, that's my DNA. So point of the story is down 8K. And so I kind of, that whole day, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is kind of terrible, etc. And then as I kind of got over the situation, I looked back at it and said, look, this is an opportunity to improve. Why was I on this market? So I relooked at my strategy, redefined what I was doing on S&P. I went back and back tested a few trades on the days where I was trading NASDAQ and I missed S&P moves. I went back and retraded those opportunities to catch up because I'd missed a period. I talked to Mark about it. Mark made some great suggestions. He said, hey, you could put a drawdown amount on your account. That way, if things get crazy, you could get limited to that. And so I did that, you know, and I went on in the community. I shared the whole story. I shared the learning moments and lessons. So really, you know, there's two ways to look at that, to look at it and be bummed out and carry that negativity with you the next day and create the same result on a different day, which is not a desirable one, or to just sit back and be like, look, these moments are needed. Like any good trend that's shooting up, you need a pullback, and you're going to have pullbacks in your life and in everything you do. And so I just looked at this as a pullback moment. I'm like, look, how do we bounce from here instead of dwelling in the negativity of the situation? How is this an opportunity is a question I ask myself a lot, even in the darkest times. How is this an opportunity? You always find an answer to that question. And from there, you know, with some of Mark's commentary, Victorio gave me some feedback as well. I did some soul searching. You know, I just put everything cumulatively together. And my decision was I'm not trading NASDAQ actively as my main market. I'm going back to the S&P. I'm using NASDAQ as a correlation leader. And I'm going to get them again next week. And today I did really good, and I did really good because I followed what has been working. So that's my story. And, you know, I could tell you the day I was down didn't feel good. It was kind of like that psychologically it was disastrous. It was bad, but physiologically, Mark, like I just, you know, when you feel it in your body kind of thing, when it manifests. Mm-hmm. And
oh, I've been there.
Yeah, and so I had that kind of day. But there's a moment where you're like, am I going to continue to put myself through this torture chamber willingly and by myself? Or am I going to look at this as an opportunity to build on top of as a foundation? Because if you're going to keep growing your account, all right, the mistakes that you learn today, if you believe in yourself, if you're a resilient individual, if you believe you're going to succeed, the mistakes that you're learning today are the cheapest they're ever going to be. I'd rather have this happen now than 6 months from now because it's going to cost me more. But the learning lesson is the same. So I looked at this as the most valuable lesson that I could learn because it's going to be the cheapest now. And as long as their action, it's not, as long as an action resulted, it's not a loss. It's a development opportunity. I paid for it. It's an educational moment and ain't nothing free.
Exactly. And, you know, George, I appreciate you opening up and sharing that with the audience. I know it definitely was not a fun situation to be in, but I think it kind of drives the point of what we're trying to get at with today's episode as it relates to resilience, right? Because somebody that might not have the same level of resilience as you do, you know, could very easily have looked at that and anchored to it and really gone into kind of like a self-destructive, almost like a domino effect, right? It's that one result, and now you're chasing gains, you're trying to force trades to get that money back, and it could really spiral out of control. And I think that's the important thing to note here is that, you know, losses happen, drawdowns happen, and it's really how you bounce back from those that's going to determine whether you stick around in this industry for the long run. You know, I've got an example for myself. You know, today wasn't really the best session for me. It was really the first red day I've had in probably 2 weeks. And, you know, my issue before was having good days, having good streaks, and then running into the day where things just don't seem to be working, right? Things just don't seem to be working. And then getting into a hole because is just unwilling to accept the fact that today's just things aren't working for me, and it's better to survive and live another day than it is to try to force things and make things happen, right? And so, you know, the resilience as well came for me today because I understand, you know, probabilities. I understand that losers come and that I've had a good streak. So after a good streak, you know, a loser here and there isn't going to be life or death kind of a situation. But it's important to understand kind of, you know, where you should, like Georgie said, soul search, right? Where you should go and where you should really reflect on in order to be able to bounce back. And we're going to speak on that right now. We're going to speak on three separate components that make up resilience for a trader and how you should go about developing all three of these areas and really not just focusing on one, right? Because when you think of resilience, you know, the example that Georgie gave in the beginning and the same one that I gave, you know, being able to get punched in the face and continue walking forward, you know, as far as, you know, psychologically, I think resilience, the idea of resilience is tied to the psychological aspect, I would argue, for most people. If you think about resilience, it's about being mentally resilient, right? But we're going to show you guys that there is a little bit more to it than just the psychological aspect of it. There's, in fact, two other components that we're gonna speak on shortly. But before we do that, I think George is going to share a little nugget with you guys.
Oh, I thought we were going to mention the three. Did we already?
We have not mentioned them yet. Let me mention them and then we'll get into your part here. So the three components that make up resilience is number one, financial resilience. All right. And we're going to discuss exactly what that means shortly. Number two is physical resilience. All right. Being physically resilient. And finally, this is the one that most people are aware of. It's psychological resilience.
Love those. And they're all different and unique. And we're going to unpack each of them. And I just want to mention this for resilience because this thought came to me. It's like, you know, the traders who feel they're going to succeed in this industry, the people who start out fresh are the ones who are like, you know, highly educated, have some level of professional background, et cetera, right? And sadly, you know, the personalities who are engineering focused, doctors, lawyers, you know, tend to have a bit of a harder time. And I think the reason too is, and you know, this is a wild assumption out there, but if you've never been punched in the face before, when you do get punched in the face, it's going to hurt. You know, I think the first time you get hit, you're not supposed to have a plan. You're supposed to be shocked. I think it's supposed to be hard. You're supposed to hurt. You know, it's supposed to feel bad and like you're in the wrong place. And so I think the individuals who have taken more shots to the face, if you will, if we're going with this boxing analogy, know how to deal with it more.
Yeah.
Right. I think the ones who have managed to get through life without any big difficulties or challenges end up having the hardest time in trading, because this is just like another challenge you're going to have to solve. And I think this is something to be very hyper aware about. It's great that if you're in a situation where you had a life with mainly no struggles and it's been easy and effortless, it's fantastic, but it's something you're going to have to realize or you're going to have to work through, because this industry could be really difficult for that mentality. It's why when you look at the traders back in the day on the floor, you know, they were gritty personalities, no education, smoking darts in the, you know, like bruisers.
Yep.
And what I want to tell you is that, you know, the one way that you get resilient and learn to come back is to just get hit a lot. And fortunately, with trading and with places like TradePro and other educators, there's ways that they can help you anticipate the punches, but there's not one place in the world that will remove the punches. All right. You're getting into this industry full on expecting you're going to get hit. It's going to hurt, but you're going to learn. And if you're not okay with that, this isn't the career path for you. I don't know anyone who's come in and hasn't felt a little bit of pain, or who still does it and doesn't occasionally feel pain. You know, no matter how good you are, somebody's going to throw in that haymaker from the left and catch you off guard one day. And that's how the markets do it too. That I got one of those last Thursday. So, yeah. You know, that's, I want to throw that point in there.
That's a good point. And, you know, as you were talking, the quote that immediately came to mind was that Mike Tyson quote about everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. Right. Exactly. And so you might not have that getting punched in the face as part of your plan, but it's about what you do when you do get punched in the face. Right. And so we're going to discuss, you know, the components here, these three components. We're going to look at them in a little bit more detail. And we're also going to give you guys some advice on how to really set yourself up as far as what you can do to ensure that, you know, at least you have the right amount of resilience for what you're trying to achieve. So let's go ahead and get started with the first one, which is financial resilience. All right. So this is the first of the three components, and this is probably the most misunderstood one. All right. And, you know, people will think that they're mentally resilient, but a lot of the mental resilience comes from having a solid foundation. Right. And so the idea of financial resilience is that if you're going to survive long enough, if you're going to survive through the rough patches in the markets, if you're going to survive, you know, your early losses, the mistakes you make as a beginner trader, even the drawdowns that you're going to go into, you're going to need to have a sufficient supply of capital. All right. And there's no two ways about it. You know, somebody trading the same strategy on a $1,000 account versus somebody trading the same strategy on, you know, even like a $25,000 account. The person that has the 25K account has a little bit more leeway, right, than the person that doesn't have that, that has the limited supply of capital. And so when we consider financial resilience, it's more so than just, you know, having a sufficient supply of capital. It can even be broken down into another three components. All right. And so the first component of financial resilience is your personal capital and your wealth. All right. And so what that simply means is that you're going to want to have enough personal capital to survive slow periods, to survive drawdowns, without having to go into the desperation mode to try and make money to pay for the bills. All right. There's one of the things that we've seen, you know, as educators, as people that have, you know, a mentor role in this industry, oftentimes people will come in and, you know, they'll come to us with the last couple of $1,000s that they have in their, you know, in their overall net worth and say, hey, you know, I gotta turn this $1,000 into $5,000. I gotta do it by the end of the month, or else, you know, the energy's going out, or there's not going to be any water at my place, right? Is that, if you think about that, if you reflect and you think about that, is that the kind of pressure that you want to be bringing into your trading? You know, first and foremost, knowing you have a limited supply of capital, knowing that there's the pressure of, you know, am I going to put food on the table this month or not if I don't make this money, right? And so personal capital and wealth, how this kind of plays into it is that you're going to want to make sure that the money that you're using for trading is not a majority of your actual personal wealth, right? Because if your trading capital is a large portion of your personal wealth, then it's kind of going to magnify the wins and the losses. And what I mean by this is that there's going to be somewhat of a double impact, right? If you take a win, then your net worth is going to increase. You're going to feel elated. But on the opposite side of that spectrum, you know, if you start to lose some of that capital, especially if it's a large portion of your, you know, your complete net worth, both your trading capital and your net worth are going to take a hit, which is going to increase the amount of pain and is going to increase the emotional impact of taking that loss.
Yeah, it's like I almost feel like, Marky, that when you started in like trading, and if you use the word have to, you know, you're in a desperation situation. You don't have to do anything. You get to do everything. And so if you're using have to, you're in a place of this desperation. And if you don't know much and you're just starting and you're in a position where you have to make money trading at the beginning, I wouldn't even start. Just make that donation to like Sick Kids or I don't know, a good charity, because it's going to be gone anyways. Mm-hmm. When you start in at the beginning with the expectation that you have to do something, I think that right there is the most dangerous, you know, and that's why I often recommend to people while you're trading, when you become consistent, you're going to have money, more excess capital that you got to put into something like a passive income source. Start building that now, right? Like trading doesn't have to be your active income source. It could be something that's in addition, the excess of whatever it is you're doing. Obviously, different people have different means, you know. $1 million to me is a decent amount of money. $1 million to Bezos is, he's broke, to Jeff Bezos. You know, $1 million to somebody in a third world country, which is sad, is something that it's just outside the realm of their imagination. So everyone's at a unique situation, but at the end of the day, what's important is that you think of trading as active income, and you don't want to be generating all of your survival capital from active income, right? You want to eventually get to a point where you have some passive sources as well. So start with that end in mind. That might not be possible for you now if you're only starting with a $5,000 account, but just start with the expectation that this isn't going to be what you rely on for your survival. You're putting yourself in a very, very risky situation doing that. You, at the beginning, you're starting and your performance is important, but when you get good, it won't be your active source of income. There's going to be other ways to invest your money. And so when you think of it that way, it's a very big pressure off your shoulders. You're like, wow, I don't have to... And you stop chasing wins and you start doing this for more of a passive approach. It gets more exciting.
Yeah, exactly. And it, ultimately, at the end of the day, I think it's what allows you to focus more so on the process than, you know, the P&L that you see at the end of the day.
Yeah, right? You got to diversify too, man. Like the reality is in this business, it takes such little money. When you get good, you don't need a lot of money to make a ton with futures, right? Because the leverage is so good, you could scale up to the type of income that you dream of with way less than you believe you need. But the problem is then now you have a bigger account. Now you start taking bigger trades than you're comfortable with and you get in trouble. So what you do is you take that money out of the trading account and you start investing in things like properties, you know, start a business, do something passive, you know, invest in another business, put some money in a freaking fund if you want, let somebody else manage a portion of it, go into a venture capital fund, do things outside of just this. This isn't your whole investing in your whole life. It's just one portion of the puzzle.
Exactly. And so that's kind of the first level of financial resilience, is the personal capital and the wealth. The other level, the second level here, is your actual trading capital. This is the allocation of capital that you actually have to trade with. And now this capital will ultimately determine the size as far as position sizing that you can trade and the positions that you're able to take. Now, the interesting thing about this is that, there's kind of a double-edged sword, right? If your trading capital is small, if you're starting with a limited amount of capital, then you can either accept it for what it is, all right, and manage your risk accordingly, or if you're trying to get big returns, you're going to be forced to take on way too much risk for that account. And, you know, odds are you're going to blow it out. All right. And so what I'm trying to relate this to is, you know, going back to that story of the $1,000 account, that needs to turn that 1,000 into 5,000 by the end of the month, or else they won't put food on the table, right? In those kinds of a situation, it's better to just to not even, not to not start, but to at least use a smaller portion and to accept the fact that if you're starting with $1,000, like realistically, you should be looking for, you know, $10 to $25 of a profit with $1,000. You're not trying to fivefold your account in the month, because the amount of risk that you're going to have to take to do that far outweighs, you know, the likelihood of you achieving those numbers, right? And so when you're starting small and you're trying to achieve big returns, this is one of the places where, you know, there's a misalignment between what you're trying to achieve and really the reality of what you're starting with. And, you know, to the flip side, if you do have a solid amount of starting capital, if you do have a solid amount of trading capital to start with, that is going to allow you to take risks appropriate for the account size that you have. And as a result, you know, the P&L is going to be a bit more, I don't want to say the word realistic, but if you kind of relate it back to, you know, nobody really wants to go out there and make $10 to $25 a day, right? I mean, to some that would seem like a large amount, but to the majority of us, you know, $10 to $25 almost kind of seems like a waste of time. And so the amount of capital that you start with is really going to help you kind of build out that resilience, right? Because if you start with small amount, it's going to be, you got to manage it accordingly. You got to realize, you know, $10 to $25 is what you're looking for until you build it up. And then you're able, you know, that $10 to $25 suddenly turns into $100 to $250. And then, you know, you keep getting consistent with that. Those profits turn into $1,000 to $2,500, right? And so the distribution, or rather the allocation of the capital, is super important here, because you'll see as we go into the other two categories, you know, the physiological and the psychological, a lot of the resilience that you have on those terms are based off of the foundation you get from this financial resilience.
That's fantastic. I just got one quick add in here, Mark, because you covered this really good. From working as a licensed trader at Scotiabank on the trading desk and doing trades for clients, to, you know, being an entrepreneur, to making it out of a circumstance I consider, you know, people have had it way rougher. I mean, we just did an interview recently. I'm like, thank God I didn't do that. But, you know, through getting myself trouble in the early years, I can tell you this, the people with the most amount of money in their bank account, the largest net worth, not just trading capital, are the ones that want to start with the smallest trading account. You'd be surprised how little large wealth people want to start with so they could learn, because they've learned their lesson elsewhere that by taking small losses, you get the win and for cheap. And then when you get consistent, you know you could scale up quick and you know you have the capital. And the people who have the least amount of net worth, who are in this to get rich overnight, will take the biggest amount of risk and try to start with as much as possible. And so I guess what I'm here to tell you is, if you're successful in one area of your level of your life, carry that over to trading. Start small, scale up. How much capital you should start with isn't determined based on the product you're trading. There are minimums. Obviously, you'd want to at least start out with 2 to 5K. I'd even recommend 5,000 if you're trading futures. You want to start out with 5 to 10,000 trading options. All right. You want to be in a situation where you're not undercapitalized, but you don't want to put all the money you've saved up there. Start small, and as you scale, it's much easier to add to a winning account than it is to add to a losing account. And so this is my tip to you, because we've had traders come in at TradePro and I've dealt with, they say, I got $1 million. Where should I start? And you know what? Start with 5K, like the rest of us. Your capital isn't contingent on the product. It's contingent on your experience level. You have to start small and you have to earn the right to trade bigger. If you start trading bigger, you're going to earn the right to trade small, because you're going to blow out your capital. Tested and true, you know, like
exactly. And you know, that segues beautifully into this third real, you know, I'll use quotes here, level to financial resilience. And that's with regards to the risk taken. All right. And like you just mentioned there, excessive risk taking will, I don't want to say can be, because it will be detrimental to your trading decisions, right? If you're taking excessive risk based on the trading capital, based on also like your personal capital and your net worth, that is where you begin to introduce fear and anxiety into your trading. And that's ultimately how you elevate your stress levels and you become vulnerable to making those emotional decisions, you know, that we've seen really spiral out of control for traders. So, you know, that's where we're going to wrap up with the financial resilience is the three components being personal capital and wealth and making sure that you've got enough personal capital to survive slow periods and drawdowns without having to go into desperation mode to make money and pay the bills. And also the trading capital as well should be a portion of your net worth. And it should be, you should have a sufficient amount so that the trades you're taking feel like you're actually putting on risk and that you have skin in the game. At the same time, you wanna make sure it's realistic, right? So if you're gonna be looking to for, you know, say $100 to $200 of profits on a, that's what your goal is going to be, then you're going to want to start with, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 in capital, right? Because if you're looking for $100 to $200 of profit on a day and you're starting with, say, a $500 account, right, you got to make almost 25% on a daily basis to hit those goals. And that is not... that is not risk-adjusted returns, all right? You're going to be risking far more than you can potentially return. And so when you're considering, you know, resilience, the important things as it relates to establishing financial resilience is that financial resilience, you can kind of consider it like building, like I said, building a solid foundation to help you weather the challenges that you will run into as a trader. And now, you know, there's another thing that you can do here, and this is some of the strategies that you can kind of apply as it relates to this component of resilience. And that's, as always, you know, self-reflection, right? And further to that point, we've got some questions that you can ask yourself in order to kind of determine where you stand and whether, you know, if you currently are trading, whether you have the right financial, I guess, guidelines in place to be able to weather potential drawdowns, losses, or slow periods in the markets. And those questions that you can ask yourself are these. Number one, can you weather a tough period in the markets and still bounce back? Number two, what percentage of your account capital are you risking per trade? Another big one, how many consecutive losses can you take and still recover? And number four is, can you survive without making any income from trading? All right. If the answer to any of these questions is no, then you know where you got to start. You're going to want to work on building a larger capital base before continuing on with live trading. And before we move on to physical resilience, there was one thing I wanted to mention about those questions here. And it's the third one that we posed. How many consecutive losses can you take and still recover? All right. Just a quick question for the general audience. If you lose 50% of the account capital, how much do you have to make to get back to zero?
50%, right, Mark?
You might want to try that one again. Right. If you lose 50% of your account capital, you are going to have to make a 100% return just to get back to break even.
Quick maths.
That's quick math for you guys right there. All right. And so the important thing about knowing your numbers, knowing how many consecutive losses you can take and still recover is really going to put you in the position to be able to weather, you know, any challenges, any adversity, any pressures that are going to come your way. All right. And so remember to ask yourself those four questions. Can you weather tough periods and still bounce back? How much of your account are you risking per trade? How many consecutive losses can you take? And fourth and final, can you survive without making any income from trading? All right. You got to be able to say yes to these questions in order to move on to the next one. Because if you can't answer yes to these ones, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage right from the get-go.
I love that. You know, I actually have nothing to add, Marky. Those are great questions. And I think, you know, we've covered the financial resilience part pretty thoroughly. And the next one we want to talk about is physical resilience. So this is physically to the body, relating to having the energy required to cope with all of the stress and challenges when things aren't going our way. When trading is tough, Marky, it can take a lot out of your mentality and emotionally, but also physically. And I feel this. Remember, we were just talking about this earlier.
Yep.
When I said I physically felt sick. You know, it's like, I don't know how to explain it to you guys. You kind of just have to know. And I think when we talk about resilience, it's not like, yeah, I'm resilient. I work a 9-to-5 job. I have to do all these projects because no one else pulling their weight. You know, it's resilience, yes, but it's not resilience with a capital R. Resilience is like one of those, like, imagine working under a contract position and any work that you do, you get paid for an hourly basis, all right? It's kind of stressful for some people. Now, imagine working for free, all right? Donating all your time. It's like, oh, well, now suddenly, how am I going to support my family? Now, imagine paying to work. That's trading. You don't like you're actually you're paying to be there. You're paying for the data. You're paying for the platform. You're paying for everything. On some days you'll work hard. You'll get beat up. You'll get put through the wash and rinse and even like dry cycle all at the same time. And at the end of it, what do you have for your reward? Nothing. You have to pay out of it. So those are the events in trading that are new to traders. Is they're not used to coping with that severe of loss. All right. And so that's how you get physically sick. Like it actually affects your body. And you know, hopefully you'll never have to experience it. But the reality is if you're going to do this business, you're going to experience it at least a couple times while you're learning.
Exactly. Excuse me. And further to that point, right? Like physical resilience, as Georgie mentioned, it relates to having the energy required to cope with the stress and challenges when things aren't going your way. And this is important because if you look at what actually happens to our body, you know, the chemicals that our body releases, right? When you're stressed, your cortisol production shoots up, all right? When you are elated, when you're happy, when you're feeling like you're on a high, maybe you just had your biggest win, adrenaline is shooting through your body, all right? Both cortisol production and adrenaline production, it takes energy for your body to produce this. And it removes energy from you, all right, in order to produce this. So consider, you know, when you're stressed, that cortisol, and when you're elated, that adrenaline, those are like, it's almost like an energy bank, all right? And those are withdrawing from your energy bank. And the more withdrawals that you do from your energy bank, the less energy you have to cope with, you know, with these stresses and with these challenges. And so, you know, we have a concept that we kind of use in the trading community, in our trading community, and that is that of the mental capital meter, right? So like Georgie explained it, you know, for George, actually, I think you'll explain it better here. Can you kind of explain what your mental capital meter is and how you kind of use it?
Sure, yeah. Mental capital meter is just a meter that measures my mental capital. And so essentially, any other questions, Mark?
That's perfect.
If you read anything backwards, you know, it's pretty... it's just a meter for the capital around my mentality. But that was fun. But really what it is like, it's a self-awareness exercise. Stop laughing, Marky. I can't stop either. Okay. All right. We like to have fun. It's a self-awareness exercise to find out where I'm at in terms of my mental abilities. So things that go into measuring myself is energy, right? So like Mark, you said that that's like sleep, you know, diet helps with that, workout, exercise, things that refuel the battery cell, all right? You even got to plug in that Tesla in the charger once in a while. Other things is like emotional aspect. How am I feeling? Am I upset at something that I need to let go? If I am, I could do some meditation, right? And for all these things that I measure, I also have, if things are bad, how I could work on them. And so at the beginning of the morning, I do an assessment of where I'm at, 0 to 10. Anything below 7 means I'm not ready to trade. So let's say I do a mental meter check-in and I'm at 4. You know, I had really bad sleep. I just don't have the energy. I haven't eaten well. It happens. You know, I have a kid. He's 5 months old. Sometimes he's got his own plan. And if I'm at a 4, this is why you got to wake up early. Because if I wake up at 8:45 and I start trading at 9, if I'm a 4, there's no chance I finish at anything but a 4. So I wake up early enough that if I'm at a 4, I could do some change work. I could do meditation. I could do visualization, gratuity journal, all the stuff we've talked about in this podcast. And then I do another assessment. All right. And based on that, where am I at now? Am I at a 7? If I'm at a 7, I'm good to trade. If I'm at a 4 and I did change work and I'm still at a 5, let's say, maybe I upped it a little bit, it's not enough. There's something bigger I got to work on. And so it's not that I don't trade those days because I don't want to. It's just because I don't trade because I'm not prepared to. And I think that you have to be aware enough to know about yourself, how you're feeling. And this is where self-awareness is. How many times in life do we rely on somebody else to give us value? Our boss, our teacher gave us grades. All right, everyone wants to give you your feedback, but we never really give ourselves feedback. We get negative when things are negative. You know, so basically what I'm saying is you have to be aware to know where you're at, and you have to have the techniques to know where you're going to be and then what's required of you to start trading. 7 for me is a high number because I'm an individual that needs energy. I don't perform optimal unless I'm really like on point. So that's kind of the mental capital meter marketing and how I use it, how it works.
Yeah, that was a perfect explanation there. And one thing that you kind of mentioned that I want to reflect on here is I don't trade those days because I'm not prepared to. All right. And right. I think that's something important that you mentioned because, you know, given that we are talking about resilience and you need to have energy in order to cope with stress and to cope with adversity and to cope with challenges, what George is saying here is that he doesn't trade on those days where his mental capital meter is low, not because he can't trade. Now, he can still trade, but what's important to understand is that he's not prepared to trade, right? And the thing here is, as a professional trader, you got to focus on the risk management, right? The market conditions could be looking like it's going to be a perfect day, but if you're not prepared to trade physically, right, if your mental capital meter is not there, it could lead to more frustration than anything, right? Because if you're physically not at the right place, if you're mentally not at the right place, mistakes, those are going to irritate you. All right. When you're in a low energy, you've got low energy, maybe you didn't get sleep, maybe you had an argument with a spouse, that's going to affect you and you're going to become more easily irritated, more easily frustrated. And let's say, you know, for example, the market is not really volatile and you go in looking for a volatile session. All right. If you make some mistakes early on, you're not going to be in the right frame of mind to see that objectively, be self-aware enough to say, hey, what am I doing here? I got to take a step back and reflect. No, you're going to get irritated. You're going to get frustrated. And this is what we mentioned where, you know, if you don't have the right physical resilience in play here, it's where you can kind of go off the rails, off the tracks. And this is where emotional trading comes in. And this is where a lot of traders get hurt. So, you know, That's all we're gonna say on this. Actually, George is gonna add one more thing, but I think that's really what I've got to say about physical resilience, right? So you guys are kind of seeing here how these three, we've covered two so far, but how these first two components kind of build on that initial foundation of having the financial capital in play, right? The financial resilience, because once you have that in play, you're no longer worried about whether I gotta pay my bills or not. The next step here is to make sure, you know, you're getting your sleep, you're topping up your mental capital meter. And the way to do that, practicing good habits. What are those habits? Georgie mentioned some of them, you know, getting good rest, eating well, having a nutritious diet, or I won't say diet, but just having a nutritious eating style, doing your morning meditations, whatever it is for you to get into that prime, you know, prime state of mind. That's what you got to do before you get into the market. If you're not there, it's almost better to just avoid the day because you're not going to be in the right place if things go wrong. And they might not go wrong today, but let me tell you, if you're planning on sticking around in this industry for long enough, you will have days where things will just not go your way. And it's those days that are the most destructive. And if you show up with the low mental capital meter, those are the days where you can make those mistakes that might lead to you exiting the industry.
Well, that's funny. That's what I was going to mention. So I could almost delete this, but I just want to mention one thing. You know, the idea of this is that your trading day doesn't start at 9:30 of the opening bell. Your trading day starts when you end your last one. And so this is what I think that's often overlooked, is that you wake up and you expect to be optimal. That's not how it works. The way you end yesterday, you know, is important because your current present self is a cumulative effort of, you know, all your whole life before it. In trading, if you haven't let go of any of the stressors from the past day, they're going to start to affect you today. So your day starts when the last one ends. And the whole idea of measuring yourself with mental capital, the reason it's there isn't to hold you back from trading. The reason it's there is to identify when you're going to be a liability to yourself. And because you could be disqualified from the session and not even have a chance to perform, it makes the prior day that much more important. It makes what you eat for dinner, when you go to sleep, you know, how you interact with people, what you do outside of trading more important. And that's what I like about it, is because waking up in the morning, that's great. You know, every day I get to wake up is a good day, but I've done a lot more work for the 9:30 open the prior day than I do the current day.
Exactly. Exactly. And so now let's segue off to this third and final component here of building and developing your own sense of resilience. And this one is the, you know, the term that majority of people are familiar with, and that is psychological resilience or even mental resilience, right? And so, quick little definition, it is how you mentally deal with tough situations. And what's interesting about psychological resilience is that what you choose to say and think to and about yourself in these times, when you're going through adversity, when you're going through challenges, as well as the beliefs, attitudes, and perceptions you have about them, is ultimately going to dictate whether you bounce back or not. All right, and we've got a little example of how the mindset of a trader works, and it's based really on four things, right? You've got a trigger, you've got your beliefs, your attitudes, your perceptions about that trigger, you've got the consequences, which is the actions, and those three things result in the performance. All right, so if we're thinking about a trigger, all right, the trigger would be something like taking a loss, all right, a trader taking a loss. And based on taking that loss, the mind filters through in terms of what their beliefs are about taking a loss, what their attitudes are about taking a loss, what their perception about taking a loss means, right? So in this case, if you take a loss, a losing trade might generate frustration and, you know, a feeling of revenge, a feeling of wanting to get back at the market, all right? And the beliefs and attitudes about losses, about setbacks, about making mistakes, you know, that's going to have a big, big impact on how you react to them. Because at the end of the day, it's just a filtering mechanism, right? So one of the things that you can ask yourself is, what does a loss mean to me? What does a drawdown mean to me? And examine your own responses, because right there, you'll find some great insights into what your beliefs are, what your attitudes are about these kinds of things, right? So when you do that, take note of the positive and the negative beliefs that you have about certain things, you know, whether it's taking a loss, whether it's taking drawdowns, maybe making mistakes, all right? And you got to commit to reframing those negative beliefs with positive ones. And a great example, again, is if you believe that I'm not a successful trader, if I make a mistake, you can reframe that to something like, mistakes are an opportunity to learn. Trading is not a game of perfection, all right? And so when we look at these things in general, right, the trigger is something that generates a feeling, which results in the trader taking a certain action, and then it results in the trader taking action based on those beliefs and those attitudes, all right? And that behavior might be something like, all right, I took a loss, I'm upset. I think if I take a loss, I'm not a good trader. I need to get back to the green. What do? The behavior might be something like scaling up on the next trade in order to get back to the green on that session, right? How many times have you been in a position where maybe the first couple of trades don't work out, and that final one, you decide, you know what, I'm going to take a position three times the size of those other ones because I need a smaller move just to get myself back into the green, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, these actions that you end up taking are ultimately what reflects itself in your performance, all right? Now, the thing that's really, really interesting about this is that the trigger in itself, it can be the same for different traders, right? Taking a loss, you know, we all take losses, right? If I take a loss, if George takes a loss, right? It's the same thing. The same thing's happening to both of us, but the outcome can be a lot different for each of us simply because of the mindset, right? And so it's important to understand that your mindset is responsible for determining the results more so than the actual events that happen to us as traders.
Yeah, Marky, this is really cool because we do have a choice in what happens to us, but oftentimes we're not built on what the event is, we're built on the reaction to the event. And I think one of the most powerful tools you could have is to learn how to reframe, just like you did there, Mark, right? Like to turn it from a challenge to an opportunity. Because once you start reframing things, your whole life turns into opportunity. It's like you stop seeing the negativity and you start seeing just what you could do about it. Like, you know, we all have friends. You probably have this friend, Mark. Hopefully it's not me, that just calls you to complain. And, you know, and they complain and they complain and they complain. And then you listen because you're a supportive friend. And then at the end, you get off the call. You're like, well, you know, as supportive of a friend as I was, it just feels like I absorbed all this negativity. There was no discussion on the way forward, right? And I think, you know, this is kind of harsh, but you got to cut those friends off. It's the reality. It's like at the end of the day, a lot of what you do on the screen as a trader is fed in from your lifestyle outside of being a trader. So, you know, if you have those friends who talk to you negatively, you got to cut that crap out. And, you know, I used to think that I was a bad friend, Marky, when I just told people I'd cut them off. You know, like this sounds horrible, but even if somebody called me crying, I'd be like, okay, stop crying. What could we do? We're wasting precious time. You know what I mean? And I think that kind of mindset is what's required in trading. And I love that you said the formula there you put out, trigger beliefs, consequences, and performance, because we all want to work on our performance, but nobody wants to be self-reflective enough to figure out what is my trigger.
Yeah.
When do I start getting in trouble? What is that moment? And even trouble is the outcome. If you get in trouble trading, let's say you lose a ton of money in the day, that loss already happened minutes before you did it at the thought level, right? The actual loss is just the manifestation of the thoughts a couple minutes ago. So you got to really take it back even further and just ask yourself, what am I thinking? Is it serving me? Is it helping me? And change your mindset, because a lot of the things you experience that you think you're doing because you're not experienced, it's kind of a weird sentence, but are things that people who are more experienced than you experience themselves. Well, let me break that down. It's like, you know, if you think that you're down a trade and you're doing terrible, the reality is a professional trader is down a trade as well. They just don't think they're doing terrible. They just accept that that's part of their plan. So the things you're experiencing are what experienced people also go through. They just react to them different, which allows them to be more mentally fit for the next trade. This isn't a business where we're trying to make money. This is a business where we're trying to lose less. And the moment you see it that way, everything just, the matrix, you're going to start to see numbers falling in front of your eyes in green.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the point that I was looking to make here is, you know, how you choose to look at... No, that's perfect. How you choose to look at the events that happen to you is ultimately going to dictate, you know, the results. And, you know, kind of what Georgie mentioned here, it's taking a moment to step back and approach it with the big picture, all right? You got to take a look at the big picture, right? And so... Like Georgie alluded to, you know, when a professional trader is down versus when a retail trader is down, the retail trader might be thinking, oh no, like I'm a terrible trader, XYZ. Whereas a pro will say, you know, did I follow my process? Was this a good trade? Yes or no? All right, on to the next. And what's important here is also to reflect and ask yourself questions, right? If you take the example that George gave of his recent loss last week, he mentioned it without me even having to mention it here. He asked himself, what can I learn from this? Right. And that kind of line of thinking is what generates new possibilities, right, for future outcomes. Right. Had he anchored to taking that loss and, you know, how big of a loss it was, or how crappy he felt as a result of taking that loss, it's not going to serve him. Right. What did serve him was reviewing that, reflecting on it, asking what you could learn from it. And now you can see, as he mentioned, he put together a plan on his next, you know, steps going forward and how he's going to approach that market and the markets in the future. And so I think that's something super, super important. And like he said, see losses or setbacks as a cost of learning. Right. If you plan on being around in this industry for the long term, the mistakes that you make today are likely going to be the cheapest they're ever going to be in your career, right? So it's ultimately an investment in yourself, an investment in your understanding of, you know, the industry that you're getting involved with. Another interesting thing, or another interesting way to look at it, outside of looking at it at the big picture, and I really found this one interesting here, is to think back to a loss or setback that you've taken and almost like fast forward 6 months into the future. So let's say you take a loss, all right, maybe you had a bad day. You know, I'll be doing this after today's session. I'm going to look at this and think about it 6 months down the road. All right. I'm going to go in my mind's eye. I'm going to go 6 months into the future and I'm going to look back at today's day and see what I notice about it. How does it make me feel? You know, how did the loss today affect me 6 months down the road? Right. If anything, it gave me some lessons to learn, some insights to make me a better trader in the 6 months forward. Right. And so I think that's another great little exercise you guys can also do, is just to think back to a time that you had a loss or a setback, fast forward to the future several months out, and almost review that as if you're looking at it from your future self. And you know, you can thank yourself for that opportunity because you took the learning from the mistake that you did and you applied it to your future self.
I love that, man, because a lot of people forward pace negativity.
Yep.
Right. They're like, if this happens, this is going to happen. Then, you know, 10 years later, it's like you're going to find out how to be in the worst situation ever. But I think you should forward pace your positive experiences like you do, Mark. And that's fantastic. And I think you're going to see in 6 months, the learnings are great. But in 6 months, the loss is nothing either. And that's what I was going to mention. It's like, this is going to sound weird, but I hope that what happened last Thursday isn't the biggest loss I ever take. I hope I get to grow my account more and my mentality to be able to take bigger losses. You know what I mean? And I think that's a unique way to look at it for some people. They're probably shocked. Like, what do you mean? You want to lose more than 8,000? Sure. I want to lose a million in a day because I'm swinging 250 mil at that point. It's like, you know, it's like taxes. You know, I want to pay more taxes because that means I'm crushing it and I'm hiring good people to make sure I pay the less as I can. And I'm even paying more. Fantastic. Bring it on. You know, like it's at the end of the day, this is the biggest loss that you ever want to take in your career, you're saying you don't want to grow. Right. And if you think about it, what is 8,000 and 100K? Okay. Well, it's a percentage. It's 8%. What is 8,000 in 10 million? It's 0.8%. So are you saying at some point in the future you want to just take a 0.8% maximum risk? Guess what? You would never make it to 10 million if you had that mentality today. So what I'm saying is treat your losses like a learning opportunity. You get the learnings from them, and you know what? This will be the cheapest lesson you learn, but respect them. One day you are going to have a drawdown, and I hope this isn't the smallest one I have. Obviously, I hope that a bigger one doesn't come soon. but I appreciate the value of it too, so I just wanted to bring that point out.
Exactly. And really, you know, guys, I think we've done a pretty good job here explaining these. The last thing to kind of mention here about the psychological resilience really has to do with self-talk. You know, as you guys might have recognized already, you know, self-talk is super important, and how you look at these problems, how you speak to yourself about these problems, again, is going to be the deciding factor whether you bounce back from adversity or whether, you know, you get overwhelmed by it. All right. And so, you know, it goes without saying, optimists are more likely to persist through tough times than pessimists, because pessimists are more likely to promote less perseverance. They're more likely to get down on themselves when dealing with negative outcomes. Whereas the optimist, as you would have seen from these examples, looks for the learning opportunities. They look to get positives out of the negatives. And that is ultimately what decides whether you're going to stick around or not. We also do have a episode on self-talk. If you guys want to check that one out, that is episode 39, and it's called Eliminating Negative Self-Talk to Improve Your Trading. All right, guys, so that is basically a quick wrap-up here of today's episode. The practical strategies to building resilience as we've covered them so far today. Number one, ensure that you have a positive relationship with your personal capital. All right, making sure that you have enough personal capital and or wealth that you can survive slow periods or periods of not making any money in the markets and still be able to survive. You got to have a positive relationship with your trading capital and with the size that you are trading. All right, number two is to maintain and top up your mental capital meter on a daily basis. You want to be putting in the effort to make sure that you're at the right, you have the right amount of energy, you have the right clarity of mind in order to cope with these stresses. And how do you do that? Focus on your sleep, exercise, you got to move, and good nutrition. All right. And finally, the third one, and the one that most would be familiar with, is the psychological resilience. And that's developing positive, resilient beliefs, taking positive perspective of events, and practicing positive self-talk.
All love right? it, Marky. And so I think, I was going to say, I love it. And I was going to switch it up and do the outro for once. I don't think I've ever done the outro.
Let's roll.
That's all for today's episode, Trade Pros. Thanks for listening. If you could think of one person in particular who would find today's message really helpful on their trading journey, please share this episode with them. Also, if you enjoy listening to this podcast, please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. Your feedback really helps us build our community and make the show better. Until next time, take care, good luck, and good trading. Thanks for letting me do that, Marky. That was fun. Goodbye, Trade Pros.
Take care, guys. Hope you enjoy this one.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.